Would you bow with us as we pray? Father, thank you again. Thank you for the songs that we have sang that have lifted up praise to you. Thank you for the study of your word. And now thank you for this time that we have once more come into this assembly. And that, Lord, we might just look again into the instruction, into the encouragement that you have for us tonight. We pray a special blessing upon each one that has come to be with us. And Father, may we, as we go away, may we say with thanksgiving, God is so good, and thank you again for loving us. And we pray these blessings in Christ's name. Amen. Be turning in your copy of God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where I will read my first select passage, and then we'll move over to chapter 4. But I, with somewhat shamefacedness, say that a lot of times it's late in the day on Sunday when I look at what our lesson is going to be in discipleship training. And I look at it then because see how much effort that I'm going to have to give to memorizing the memory verse. You say, Brother James, you can memorize the memory verse in that short a time? Well, if I put it just here in the front part, you know I can. So I mentioned to some of those that were sitting close by that it should not and does not amaze me how God works so well, so perfectly in coordinating the things that we need the most. Prayer in difficult times. What was the topic of our lesson study? Is that prayer in hard times? Well, I'm speaking to you tonight on Gone with the Wind. Now, I know that most all of you remember the classic Gone with the Wind with, who was it, Clark Gable and Janet Lee? Is that, no? Vivian Lee, all right. Well, and then a few years back you heard me braggadociously say that when they did the sequel to that called Scarlet down in Charleston, South Carolina, that our number two son managed a part. He played a part in Scarlet, and even a speaking part. He drove Red up in front of the plantation and said, "Whoa." Now, as you've met Steve is at least, I don't guess any of my boys have any problem talking to someone, but the way that all came about, he was building a house right next to or through the bushes of that plantation, and knowing that this was going on, he'd just go over and strike him up a conversation. And he got to know the hostler, the fellow that took care of the horses and the carriages, and I don't know what kind of line that he sold him, but wound up with a part in the play nonetheless. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, with this thought in mind, Gone with the Wind, for Paul says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now turn on over to chapter 4, and let's look at verse 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." I want you to notice these little clauses. "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Now, you know, I think the thing that brought me to this message is, as we look at our news, we listen to the news this week, this has been a turbulent year. We have had so much. We've had the storms that have ravaged the Gulf and has left great devastation, billions of dollars worth of damage that is even affected. If we go back and if we put our arms around Katrina, still that's ongoing. Well, it doesn't stop there. Now then, some of our commentators are saying we're seeing the greatest bust on Wall Street since or even surpassing the Great Depression. There are jobs that are being lost, houses have been lost, and we're feeling that as it's beginning to press in. And folks, I'm not a pessimist. You know that. I am not a pessimist, but we have not seen the last of this yet. That's why our lesson tonight during discipleship training is such an important passage of Scripture. I didn't get the gist of it, the thrust of it, until, you know, I memorized it as we were coming up the road, and I said, well, this is short. I can catch this real quick. And commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. And oh my, how important it is that we do that. Because you see, God's in control of everything. He'll bring it to pass. Now, I had already commented, I'd gotten to the point that I hated when that report came in that said, here's what your 401k looks like. Now then, it looks like K-104. You know, somebody's been playing with the product. But nonetheless, if I wanted to just sit down and brood about that, there's plenty of reason for. But do I believe God's going to take care of me or not? Now, I'm going to say this, and I trust that it is received and understood in the vein in which that I say it. It occurred to me tonight why that I got booted out when I did. You see, I'd been saying all along that when I get 65 years old, fully vested and retired, then, Lord, I'm ready to be yours. Well, what does that say in retrospect? God, I can't trust you to take care of me. I'll work till I can take care of myself, and then me and you together will do this ministry thing. Well, God had a better plan. God's plan is a perfect plan. But in order to do God's plan takes a little more faith to trust in Him to meet our needs. But God has done beautifully working through God's people. Now, I'm going to be bouncing here and there. You can turn if you will, or you can just listen and trust me that I'm reading it correctly. In Psalms 34:19, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We know that, amen? And nobody have to second guess us on that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But hallelujah, God doesn't stop there. Here's what He says in the rest of that verse. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord is our deliverer. All right? I read this story about a man by the name of Clyde Gordon, who was completely paralyzed from his neck down, but he edited a magazine called The Truth. And here's what he said in that magazine. He said, Christ is no security against storms, but He is perfect security in the storms. He does not promise an easy passage, but He does guarantee a safe landing. Well, someone else has said that the road to success is always under construction. And you know by now one of my favorite passages of Scripture that I had to learn a long time ago because I met so many people. As a matter of fact, somebody, one old preacher said, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Amen? And so, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, you know by now that this is an encouraging passage of Scripture. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And so what a wonderful promise that He has for us. Now, I want to use this then about the gone with the wind, the tough times that it looks like that we're being faced with, and because God's people always have been exposed and under great oppression. I want to use seven ways that we can use this surge of problems, if you please, to help us in our lives. Now, if you have a computer at home, behind your computer desk, plugged into the wall, before you plug your computer in, you have a what? Nah. Surge protector. Now you. Okay. When we first started getting into the computer things over in Franklin, we were always having a bridge rectifier that was getting blown. Now, you know what a bridge rectifier is. I started to draw one up here. It's a 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, brother. You want to do this extra Jesus on the bridge rectifier, brother Cletus? You want to just let me go ahead and stumble along with this? Well, what I didn't know early on was that we have what is called dirty electricity. Well, I come to find out that what you mean by dirty electricity is that if you put some kind of monitor in there, you can see that your electricity is spiking this way and spiking this way and spiking this way. And so when you get these spikes that are called surges, you have to have a protector in there. Now, yours is usually for lightning. You didn't know you was going to get this little extra bit tonight on why you have that surge protector in there. But these surges that were coming in was blowing the diodes in the bridge rectifier, and so that's what was causing all the problem. Now, I use that just to illustrate that these surges that we're being faced with are just creating problems for us, but they're not long-term if we do Psalms 37 and 5. Commit our ways unto the Lord and trust in Him. Now, point number one, when problems come, they have a purpose. Number one, to direct us. Sometimes God has to light a fire under us to get us moving. I've already shared with you, and it preaches so well, I'll preach it again. I had already been removed. I was just waiting for that other glorious job. I was going to go to work for Coca-Cola Company. I already had the job. It was at a slight decrease in my salary, but I was going to have my own car, the big shot hat, you know, and telephone and all that good stuff. And Diane said, "You ain't going to get this job." I said, under my breath, "You don't know what you're talking about." She in here? Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm coming out of Sparta. Charles Stanley is preaching on the radio. You've heard me give this witness because this is the way God works. He said on the radio, sometimes God has to knock men out of these cushy jobs. I never knew my job was cushy. Out of these cushy jobs before they will ever listen to Him. I pulled over to the side of the road. I couldn't see how to drive because I knew who He was talking to. I was the one that had been telling folks all around me, Christian ministry is what I want to do. Christian ministry is what I want to do. Christian ministry is what I want to do. And somebody had to come along and say, "Why don't you do it?" And God was the one that was going to do that. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30, I've read this. I never read it before like this. Now, Sister Martha came across this passage in the book of Ezra that I wanted to get in on her stuff because I just read that this year too. I try to read the Bible through every year. Now, I'm a little bit behind right now, but I'm going to have some bad weather days to catch up. But I'm getting right along with it real well. I know, and I said that to say this, I know I have read Proverbs 20 and 30. And you have too. But you probably got in on the verse either before it or after it. I don't remember which one it says. I think it's the one before it that says, "The glory of the young man is his strength, but the beauty of the old man is his gray hair." Look at this congregation. We got a lot of beauty here at New Hope Baptist Church. A lot of beauty. Amen. All right. But now, what does that other verse say in verse 30? "The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly." Now, don't ask me to give you no great explanation on that. I understand that part about the wound, but God has a purpose when bad things come our way. This world does nothing but deceive us. But you ever notice how that people, after they have a serious bout with trouble, turned to the Lord. Right after 9/11, there was no problem with Bibles and prayer in New York City. And so, trouble comes our way many times in order to direct us. Where's God at in all of these times? You know, God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He could have kept all of these great warriors of His from the adversity that they faced. But God, but where would their testimony have been? Do you think Daniel had much more to say after his deliverance than he did before? Absolutely. And so when God has delivered you out of your trouble, you see then His perfect plan. Well, number two, these things come in order to inspect us. The little moral maxim says that you want to know what's in a tea bag? Put it in a pot of boiling water. You'll find out what's on the inside. The same thing is true with us. Whenever we get in trouble, you find out what's on the inside of the individual. Amen? James says in James chapter 1, 2, and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Alright? Point number 3. These things come our way to correct us. I almost said we have never reached perfection, but, you know, there may be some that come along that, well, at least, no, we haven't reached that. So we need that continual guidance in our lives. Now, some lessons are learned the hard way. We got home today and we found that Dallin had a big ping right here in the top of his head, big Band-Aid right across it. And some of you do not know about RAD. Any of you know about RAD? Anybody besides? Well, Dale, Dallin's daddy, anytime something came on, he wanted to emulate what they were doing on TV. And so RAD was this guy on this bicycle that could do all of these tricks on the bicycle. Stand up on the front wheel and spin it around. So Dale watches that movie and he goes out in the front yard and he takes him a block and some boards and puts them, and you know where this is going. Oh, whenever he come down across the yard just skinning it and hit that, he missed it and it was just Dale and bicycle all over the yard. And we've never let him outlive that. We always talk about, "You've been doing RAD again," you know. Well, Dallin had us out in the yard yesterday coming down off the hill with his bicycle sliding the wheel around. And I said, "You do RAD better than your daddy." But and when we saw him this afternoon, he had this great big ping in the top of his head. I said, "You been doing RAD?" Well, his daddy had the silliness to let him shoot a gun, holding it for him with a scope on it, and the scope panged him right in the head. Now, you and I are smarter than that. His mother's smarter than that. She wouldn't have let him do that. Because I remember when I went into the Navy and got to shoot the M1, I was shooting it like a 22. And the first thing I did was I got on that thing and I had my thumb sticking up just like this. "Brother Willis, you know what happened to my nose all the way up? That thumbnail went all the way up my nose. And I mean, it left its telltale mark all the way." Now, where you see, to connect us, to correct us, somewhat when most of us here have or have an exposure to wood stoves. And somewhere back along the line, somebody said, "Don't touch that, it's hot." Huh? I remember going into the... in the Navy, they called it the head. I don't know why. In the Army, they called it the latrine. And you call it the restroom, potty room, necessary room. But this sailor had been painting in the bathroom. And so then he had some creativity about him. Then he had, on a wire, had hung him up a piece of cardboard with paint on it. And then he'd written a sign, "Test here." You know, if you put a sign on the wall that says "wet paint," what's everybody going to do? Is it still wet? You know? So he had test. I thought that was so cute. And so I still laugh at that. But David helps us out with the same thing. This is, you know, trouble comes to correct us. David says in Psalms 119:71, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, that's committing our way to the Lord. That's listening to that voice as He speaks to us. So that's to correct us. The next one is then to connect us. I notice that whenever there's great trouble, when someone dies in the family, people come together. Have you ever noticed that oftentimes right after a funeral, the whole family comes to church? Mm-hmm. You see, David again said in Psalm 119 and verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." So God has a purpose in these circumstances that come our way. Now, the next point is to protect us. You see, God lets these things come our way to instruct us, to correct us, to connect us, but also to teach us that He is dependable and He will and can protect us. Well, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, you'll remember this passage of scriptures where Joseph now is, it's at the point where Joseph's brothers have come. They're all repentant. And Joseph said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." I love reading the story of Joseph, just reading it again and again. You talk about somebody that had a reason to grumble and complain. But he didn't. He didn't. Joseph was the surge protector to those in that time. All right? To perfect us then. Problems can be character builders. I remember years ago I was going to do a lesson on eagles. I had heard about eagles bearing their young on their wings. And somebody had spoken on this that I've heard this again and read this again, so if it isn't true, then I've been misinformed. But the Bible has that passage of Scripture that beareth their young on their wings, that the eagle, sometimes the eaglets are a little bit reluctant to get out of the nest. And the first thing they do is they take all of the inner lining out of the nest so that when they get down to the rough brambles, you know, it's not so comfortable anymore. But the young eaglet sometimes still doesn't want to get out of the nest. It's about like John Boyd wanting to stay home with the Waltons. And so the mama eagle, sometimes she has to push them out of the nest. And I had tried to get some research done on that, and I'm just going to leave that part of it to your imagination from there, as you've heard the stories also. But when storms come, do you suppose that the eagle worries about the storm? Not at all. Because what the eagle does is get to some high place, and then they hover their wings, and the turbulent winds then just lift the eagle right up above the storm. And so from its position, it sees the storm, but it's not controlled by the storm. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." That also helps us to be careful in our prayers, huh? You know, it fits so well here about my mom used to say, "Oh Lord, give me patience, Lord, give me patience. Oh, Lord, give me trouble, give me trouble, give me trouble." That's what she was praying. We don't have to ask for any. There's plenty going to come our way. What we need to do is to pray, "Lord, help me to understand your purpose in this circumstance." David said in Psalm 71:19-20, "O God, who is like unto thee, thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side." He wasn't distressed with his circumstance. David also was another one who had ample opportunity to whine and pine, but he didn't. I'm so thankful for him. Paul emphasized this aspect of it in another verse that we're all so familiar with, Romans 8:28. I think many times we misunderstand that quotation because we don't read it in its entirety and we do not listen to that spiritual principle that is taught in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together, and we stop there. But that verse is very explicit in it when it says, to them that love the Lord, don't stop yet, who are the called according to His purpose. All right. And so someone said that the degree that you get of spirituality comes from attending the University of Hard Knocks. Now then, we're moving on down in this, he protects us. And as I spoke with one of our young couples this morning, he also wants to project us. This surge of trouble that sometimes comes our way that we're experiencing right now, that leaves us with this helpless feeling on our own to combat these evil forces. See, nobody has the answers. Yeah, probably every one of you that are eligible to vote, that are registered to vote, and if you're not, shame on you, then you watched the debate Friday night. And Lee Hay, or whatever his name was, kept trying to get both of them, what are you going to do to fix the problem? Neither one of them answered. Do you know why? They don't have the answer. I understood that, and I'm not even running for president. They don't have the answer. Okay. However, God does. When trouble comes, now I just use that. I can't inject politics into the pulpit. You know, that's taboo. We can't do that. That's not my calling anyway. But I did use that to emphasize, in the face of difficult times, who are we going to rely on? We're going to rely on the Lord. In Philippians 1 and 2, Paul says to the church at Philippi, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." God is still working His plan. I read this other story about how that things, the Weather Bureau down in Florida have found a way, they send the planes out. You know, when there's a hurricane out there, they always send the hurricane hunters out and they send them into the hurricane. How would you like pilot that baby? You know, I don't think it'd be like those two pilots that just were fired for sleeping on the trip out to Hawaii. You probably heard about that too. They put her in all-old pilot and both of them went to sleep and slept right on through the pre-flight landing instructions, and yes, they were fired. Hallelujah. But these pilots have found out that if they're going north, that they can get on that side of it and get on the outer edge, and the tailwind will just push them right along. And they use the wind then to their advantage as they're going around the hurricane. And then when they're going the other way, they just get on the other side of it, get on the outside. So what am I saying by this? We can let our problems buoy our faith if we allow it to work that way. Isaiah chapter 40 and 31, another verse of Scripture that if you haven't committed to memory, you need to do so. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, they that wait upon the Lord." God's at work. James says in James 1 and 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." We're working for a crown, dear church. One day we're going to get to wear that crown. I conclude with what a poet said. "He sat by a fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore.
and closer he bent with a searching gaze as he heeded it more and more. He knew he had ore that could stand the test. He wanted the finest gold, to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems with a price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain would have said to him nay, and he watched the dross that we had not seen as it melted and passed away. And the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, but our eyes were so dim with tears. We saw but the fire, not the master's hand, and questioned with anxious fears. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow, and it mirrored a form above of him bent o'er the fire, unseen by us, with a look of ineffable love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause us a moment's pain? Ah, no, but he saw through the present cross to bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with a watchful eye, with a love that is strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a bit more heat than was needed to make it pure. Would you bow with us, please?